Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker, Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and this special series of bodybuilding and fitness podcast, I am bringing you the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world. And in this special series of podcasts, within the special series of podcasts, I am bringing you the true legends of bodybuilding. And today I have definitely a leader in the sport of bodybuilding, definitely a legend. He is a Hall of Fame IFBB professional bodybuilder, businessman, still living his legacy, his passion with so much intensity still to this day, Mr. Rich Gasparri. How are you today, Rich?
Great, Skip. Good to be on.
It's so great having you. I have respected you on so many different levels. I want to just get to where you are today because you are still training with intensity. It seems like I see you on social media, you're training like a madman, just like you did way back in the day. I mean, your passion to help others, to bring the young guys along, how your business and helping out bodybuilders, I mean, it's so infectious. How do you have such staying power, so much longevity? I want to know.
I mean, I guess, you know, like you said, I have a passion for bodybuilding. I mean, I love bodybuilding since I was 13 years old. You know, like when I first picked up a Muscle Builder magazine and I saw pictures of Arnold and Franco Colombo and Frank Zane and Dave Draper on the magazine, you know, I was instantly like, you know, a fan of bodybuilding and I wanted to be a bodybuilder. And, you know, I don't know, I really, you know, got into bodybuilding and, you know, I wasn't like this guy who had like great genetics. I was a very skinny kid that, you know, started, you know, reading the magazines and saying, you know what, I love this. I want to be a bodybuilder. So, you know, I just started lifting weights, like I said, when I was 13, but really started taking it more seriously when I was about 16 and started competing at, you know, 17, 18, 19. And I was, you know, growing pretty quickly, you know, in bodybuilding, you know, as a teenager in the New Jersey area, I was, you know, winning local shows, and moved up pretty quickly, you know, to winning like the junior nationals. And then my first try in the nationals, getting top five in San Jose when I was, I was just under 20 years old going into the nationals, getting top five the year that Bob Parris won. Second place, I think, was Rory Littlemeyer, and there was Matt Mendenhall and Mike Christian, and I was in the heavyweight class that year at, you know, at 19, and I was asked, you know, why don't you consider moving to California? This Ed Connors, who ran the Gold's Gyms, asked me to manage a Gold's Gym, and I was like, oh my God, I want to move to, you know, California and be there with the bodybuilders. And I, you know, I moved out from New Jersey to California to pursue my dream. You know, they said if I went down a class into the light heavyweight class, that I had a better chance of winning, you know, the nationals and in universe. And I took that advice. And, you know, that year was a great year because I got to meet Lee Haney, who became my training partner.
Yes.
I, you know, dropped down a class, you know, won the light heavyweight class, then won the universe and then turned pro.
And that was so young. Again, tell me about that. I mean, you were so ahead of everyone around you, when you were a teenager in New Jersey. How did you get that that such big thinking mindset? I mean, you know, during these podcasts, one thing that you'll find I'll keep on driving out of you is that, yeah, just like everybody else, I'm impressed with your physique and your championships. But what I like to do for my listeners is draw out this mindset that makes you a champion, where they could take it home and apply it to their life. And I know that you're teaching the young guys these things about business and about life. I follow you all over internet. I listen to those type of messages. So why didn't you just remain the big dog in New Jersey, how did you keep on thinking bigger and bigger to become such an outstanding IFBB professional at such a young age? Why did you keep on going? Tell me about your influences back in the day and what was, that was like when you were even at those early stages, your early stages of success.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I had something in me that I always believed that if you had a positive mindset, you can conquer anything in life. And, you know, I believed, you know, although other people didn't believe in me, you know, at the beginning, that I could be, you know, a champion, and I wanted to be, you know, this bodybuilding champion. So, you know, one of my inspirations and mentors, you know, was my dad, who, yes, you know, came to United States from, you know, from Italy, you know, after World War II. You know, he came in to actually had to go to Canada first, and then 10 years later, then he moved to United States. And sort of in the 60s, you know, he finally got to United States, but he always told me, he goes, you know, son, I moved here to give you a better life because, you know, Italy was, you know, poor, and, you know, to make the best of it. And this is the, you know, this is the land of opportunity. And, you know, I took it to heart that, you know what, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it to the ultimate highest degree and be the best that I can be in anything that I do. And I mean, it's not always that easy, but I do believe in having this positive mindset, and that, you know, if you believe and then you do all the other things, you know, with it, you know, like the work and the planning, and, you know, you can achieve things. Of course, you know, I had, you know, they've always said like, oh, you know, Rich didn't have the greatest genetics. I mean, I had good enough genetics to, you know, win at such an early age. And, you know, my genetics or my strengths were that I was able to get very, very lean or ripped more than a lot of bodybuilders. Because, you know, when I was competing, you know, they saw that I was at a young age able to get, you know, striated, and, you know, I was the first bodybuilder to get, you know, striated glutes in bodybuilding. And I just took bodybuilding as a science. When I got into bodybuilding, I said, okay, if I'm not perfect in genetics, what do I have to do? I have to one up my competitors. So let me know everything about nutrition. Let me know everything about supplementation to try to be one up against, you know, competitors that may have better genetics than me. And that's what I did. I studied, you know, nutrition, and, you know, I kept everything on logs, and, you know, I was doing, you know, logs way before, you know, logging all my workouts and my diets way before anyone really did that. And, you know, and I found out what was best for me when it came to my body type. You know, at first I followed, you know, the low carb diet and high protein, which I found didn't work well for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I had more of a lower calorie, restrictive fat, more of a balanced diet, you know, of protein and carbs with complex carbs involved, that I would eat complex carbs with proteins, that I felt, you know, I could get leaner much quicker using that and staying fuller and keeping my muscles full of glycogen than just trying to low carb, which maybe always looked flat. So I really looked at bodybuilding as a science when I got into it, and looked at every intricacy that could improve me in being that bodybuilder. But most of all is keeping a positive mindset.
Yes.
And by having that positive mindset, I always tell people, like, you know, when I started Gasparri Nutrition, you know, people said, like, you know, you're a bodybuilder, you don't have the funding, you know, you're not going to be able to have a company and be successful. And I said, well, these other companies have done it, why can't I? So, you know, when I started Gasparri Nutrition, it wasn't a walk in the park. You know, I came off the retirement after an injury. You know, I had a gym that, you know, basically failed, and I had very little money that, you know, when I started my company, I was doing personal training. With personal training, I was giving my clients supplements. And when I did that, you know, I said, wow, I like, you know, selling the supplements more than I like, you know, the personal training. And I believed in the nutraceutical end of it. And I said, let me start my own brand. And, you know, I just started the brand, went to manufacturers, learned about the business. You know, then it was funny, when I started it, I had this little brand, and I was going to local shows with a 10 by 10 booth, you know, and people go like, wow, look at poor Rich Gasparri. You know, he's a big pro, and now he's sitting there in a 10 by 10 booth trying to, you know, sell, you know, his supplements. You know, and I had a van, I sold, you know, I was a pro bodybuilder, and I had the Porsches and the cars, and I lost everything, Skip. You know, from bodybuilding, when I got injured, I personally went bankrupt. You know, I moved back to my parents in my 30s after being this, you know, bodybuilding champion, and, you know, sitting there, you know, at my mom's house, you know, moving back and saying, you know what, I'm going to be successful and I'm going to get this supplement company to be successful. And I found the roads. And, you know, I said, if you don't try, you'll never know. And, you know, and that's what I always believed in life. And, you know, I've been through ups and downs, even up to today. But I always say, if I just keep walking forward, that I'll be able to be, you know, successful. But if I give up, you never know that you're going to be successful, you know, if that opportunity of success is going to come.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that's my attitude in life.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot, I see a lot of leadership breaking the mold. I mean, establishing the mold. I mean, here's some things you talked about that I'm really interested in. Like, for example, you know, you being the first one to get so striated, those striated glutes, where, you know, first, now everybody, that's a standard of conditioning. Now it's even a standard of conditioning in natural bodybuilding. I mean, that's just the trademark of your work ethic, right? But
yes.
Tell me, why didn't you stop and why did you continue to suffer or continue to manipulate your diet when you were already at that level, right? I want to know the mindset. Hey, I'm going to take this further where nobody's gone. That wasn't the standard. You established the standard. Tell me what was going on in your mind back then, if you can remember.
Well, I just remember when I trained, like my, you know, I had really good legs, and at the time my legs were big. And I mean, when I was 19 years old, I was squatting 785, and I could do reps, you know, with 500 for 25 reps. And I was like, I really loved doing legs. And, you know, it was funny. I would try to duplicate Tom Platz's leg workouts because I said, well, if he's doing this and he's doing 25 reps, then I have to do it. You know, so I would, you know, look at what he was doing in his workouts to duplicate it. The one thing that I did do that was quite differently is I considered every body part a muscle. You know, even your glutes were considered a muscle. And, you know, back then women did, you know, lunges. And It wasn't really a guy exercise to do, you know, whether you're doing a walking lunge or reverse lunge. It was something women did to get their, you know, their booty like firm.
Right.
So I said, you know what, your butt's a muscle. Let me work my glute muscles as well with my thighs. And I started putting in, you know, reverse lunges and walking lunges as part of my leg workout. And, you know, I noticed that, you know, my glutes were developing as well. So I started dieting for a competition. And then, you know, we'd have this posing room in the gym that we're in. And, you know, I, you know, hit my back shots. And, you know, I was, you know, when you're in there and you're in underwear, and I noticed, you know, when I was doing my, you know, my hamstrings, I was looking, I noticed that like my glutes were like, you know, the guy who owned the gym goes like, look at your glutes. So I noticed that, you know, they were different. And, you know, they had like, you know, like striations in them. You know, this is when I was getting ready for the show. And then I said, shoot, like, you know, but the posing trunks back then,
right,
they covered your glutes entirely. So I had to actually ask this girl who still makes trunks today, her name's CJ.
Right.
You probably know she does like trunks for women. She was living in Jersey. I said, hey, can you design me trunks that cut up, you know, into my glute? And then I'll use like some glue to kind of stick it so that it doesn't go up my butt. So, but I could kind of show my glute muscle. She's like, yeah, we'll make them, you know. So we made these special trunks, you know, for competition that really weren't a standard of what was seen in bodybuilding, because I felt I had something different
right.
to show in bodybuilding. And I just focused then, while I noticed my glutes were looking like that, then I started focusing more and, you know, isolating them more and doing other exercises to get the glutes more, you know, striated, because I noticed that was something that no one else had in bodybuilding.
Yeah. Well, not only the ripped glutes, now I'm learning that you kind of created those posing trunks. That was your idea to show off those muscles too. Well, now you see some of these guys are taking a little bit too far in those posing trunks, right, Rich?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They get too cut way up. But I mean, I wanted enough to show that it was a muscle, but I wasn't wearing a G-string. But it was, you know, it was in taste to be able to show that.
Oh, definitely.
You know, your glutes are a muscle. And that's, like I said, I think I set the standard on how the trunks were cut.
Right. I didn't know that about you. That's, you know, so do you remember the first time you were on stage and you said, man, I'm going to really highlight these glutes? And the crowd because I know when you're up there on stage, right, even with all the people, you can really kind of have this connection with them. You must have just felt the gasp when you turn around. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, it was the first time I did my, well, just to go back, you know, I won the Nationals. I didn't have the trunks then, you know, when I trained with Lee Haney, I told you I went down a class and I won the Nationals at 188, won the universe at like 192.
And you're 5'10", right?
But I was very depleted to get to that weight class. Uh-huh. And I over dieted because I wanted to make the weight class. I wanted to be 198 because the year before I was in the Nationals, I was 210. So I knew that I was more built to be a heavyweight, but the issues were, I think my legs were too big. You know, my waist was a bit thick. I needed more shoulder development and arm development. So, you know, for the year that I was training, you know, with Lee Haney, I focused more on streamlining my legs more because I won the Junior Nationals as a heavyweight and work on streamlining my waist, not to do any kind of weighted, you know, abdominal exercises, and actually stopped doing squats because I felt it worked more at my obliques, but did stuff like lunges and exercises like that. So I went down a class to make that weight, but I won the Universe and Nationals. It was like October. The Night of the Champions was in May. So from October to May, all I did was start eating up. And like every day I was like getting bigger and harder because my body was actually, you know, not at the body weight that it should have been. It was, you know, I was more of a heavy, you know, more of a body weight of 220. So I go from 188 and 192 in the Nationals into the Night of the Champions at 222. So I become an entirely different bodybuilder. And that's when I was posing in the room at this new weight of 222. And it's funny, I never had, I just grew into that weight. I was never like bulked up.
Uh-huh.
As I was eating, I was getting harder and bigger the whole time from that October into the May. So that's when I noticed about my butt, and that's when I changed the trunk. So I went into that show, into the Night of the Champions, and the bodybuilder who won that show was Albert Beckles, who was like, you know, a legend in the sport, and sure. It was from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I was this newcomer kid that no one even believed that I would do anything in the Night of the Champions then was the show to enter to kind of make your mark as a pro.
Right.
So I went into that show, right? And that was the first time I hit my back shot, which I showed my Christmas tree, but I also then hit my glutes. And that's when the audience just went like, whoa, uh-huh. What the hell is that? And that just made history because it was a controversial second to, come second in that show and then go into the Mr. Olympia the same year in Belgium and then get third place on my first try in the Olympia.
Right, right. Yeah, you have so many great moments. And hey, Rich, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, there's so many things I want to learn about you. I want to know what your greatest moments were in your bodybuilding career with so many great moments. I want to know about your approach to business. That's what I think a lot of people can learn. And, you know, sometimes, especially with the younger guys, I find this isn't true with the legends like yourself, with Lee Haney, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler. But sometimes they get myopic. All they think about is bodybuilding, where you use bodybuilding to move forward in your life. So I want to, and I know that you teach this to the people you sponsor,
yes,
who you bring up. And I know our listeners, no matter what they do for a living, can learn from that. I want to know what keeps you going. And I know a lot of guys who, you know, like myself, getting a little bit older, right? You know, how you're changing in your eating and your mindset has changed, you know, as you're getting older. Doesn't look like you're getting older when I see you on the videos, but I want to know about some specifics for our audience. And then, you know, you talked about adversity, and someone would look at you and say, wow, you know, he's lived this charm life since 14 years old to today. He's been in the spotlight, living the life, traveling around the world, connecting with fans. But you talked about that adversity. I think most of us can learn more from someone like you, from how you bounce back from adversity, how you look at it, than sometimes more than our successes. So I want to get all those things covered before I let you go from this podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast.
This is IFBB Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder Sean Ray. Join me and some of the other legends of the sport of bodybuilding, like 8-time Mr. Olympia, Lee Haney, Hall of Famer Rich Kaspari and Flex Wheeler, along with Chris Cormier, Mike Christian, and Skip LaCour at the Legends Seminar Saturday and Sunday, June 27th and 28th in Santa Clara, California at the San Jose Championships. Get up close and personal with these amazing champions and find out what made them great during their competitive days and what's driving them now as we continue to find out what they eat and what are they doing today. For more information about this Sean Ray production, make sure you go to legendseminar.com.
We are back with IFBB professional Hall of Fame bodybuilder businessman Rich Kaspari. You can find Rich all over the internet at richkaspari.com, kasparinutrition.com. He's on Instagram at Rich Kaspari, Twitter, Rich Kaspari, so that makes that easy. He's also going to be part of the Legend Seminar in Santa Clara, California, Northern California, on June 27th and 28th of this month. It's got an amazing lineup. In addition to Rich, Lee Haney, Sean Ray, Flex Wheeler, and Mike Christian and Chris Cormier, all going to be there at the Legends Seminar. So you want to make sure that you come check out these gentlemen, get up close and personal, and also go to legendseminar.com, and you can have some audio, video clips, podcast, all from these legends. So that's at legendseminar.com, and I want you to come there live in Santa Clara, California, June 27th and 28th. So I've been interviewing in these podcasts all the legends, and boy, a lot of people had a lot of amazing stories and great memories and respect for you, Rich. So it was really nice to hear that coming from the legends. With so many things that you accomplish, being a leader, traveling around the world, connecting with so many fans, I'm curious, what was your greatest memory, your greatest moment, and tell me why that's so special to you?
What was my greatest memory?
Sure. Out of all your great events.
There was a lot of great memories that I had in bodybuilding. I mean, you know, winning, turning pro for the first time was a great memory because, you know, I'm that kid that, you know, moved with a dream to move to California, you know, pursue that dream and got to train with, you know, Lee Haney, who became, you know, 8-time Mr. Olympia, you know, became good friends and training partner. You know, he saw me in the gym and he saw the intensity and he said, you know, I'd love to have you as my training partner. I'm getting ready for the Mr. Olympia, you know, and I was getting ready for the Nationals, but to train with him, go in that show while I lived in LA and then win the Nationals and win Mr. Universe and then become a pro. Back then you had to win the Nationals and you had to win Mr. Universe to turn pro.
Right.
You know, later on in bodybuilding, you can win, you know, your class in the USAs and your class in the Nationals and you can win the North Americas. If you didn't win Mr. Universe after winning the Nationals in your class, you had to go back.
Uh-huh.
So it was a lot harder to turn pro, you know, and only those class winners that won the universe were then pro. So that was a great moment, you know, in my life to go from this transition as this, you know, fan and, you know, this kid that loved bodybuilding to become now one of the, you know, pros in bodybuilding.
Right, right. Like you said, it was a lot tougher back then to become a pro, but, you know, history is rewarding you with this legendary status for being one of the few back then. You know, you talk about these times, how it's maybe a little bit easier to become a professional. I want to know what you think about social media. I mean, I see that you're taking advantage of it with your business, how you promote yourself, your guys. Tell me the importance of that is in bodybuilding and presenting yourself as a professional. What are your thoughts?
Social media is amazing. I mean, I wish I had social media back then. You know, what we had was just you know, the information that came from us was from the magazines. And, you know, I always, you know, I was different for the fact that, you know, Joe Weider would pay athletes like a monthly fee, or they would get, you know, this ad on the back. And I always opted for the ad because I felt I can, you know, push my wares, you know, and I had like, you know, fans where they would have to write to a postal box and I would get, you know, then there was no emails or
right.
social media. There was actually fan mail that you would get in the mail, and you would answer this fan mail. And, you know, I think it's a great thing. You know, like, there are people now that don't even have championships that become huge social media followings. And, you know, I tell my athletes, like, if you want to build yourself, you got to build your social media following, because I'm not the one who's going to build you. How are you going to help my company? You know, how are we going to help each other? So I'm always there looking for the guy who gets it, that's going to push themselves and push themselves through, you know, through social media to grow their awareness to them and build a fan club. Because I said, by building a fan club, you know, by building fans, you're going to be able to sell them things. You know, back in the day, you know, I sold videos. And when I sold videos, I remember Lee Haney had one video. So I said to myself, let me make three videos and split the body parts three ways. So now my fans had to buy three videos instead of the one video. So I always sold three times more videos than the other competitors.
And nobody was doing that back then.
What's that?
Nobody was doing that back then, right?
No.
Another Rich Gaspari first, right there, right? Yeah, wow.
They would make one video, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do three, a series. And then I did three booklets instead of one booklet. So I ended up selling three times more items than, you know, the other bodybuilders, because I figured, you know, everyone's going to want the series.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, with social media. You can definitely grow, you know, selling, you know, whether it's your shirts or whether it's, you know, your workout plans or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, when I started my company, it was all about, man, everyone would always say, wow, you know, you're Rich Gaspari. I said, every time I said, someone said, wow, you're Rich Gaspari, if I had a dollar for every time they said that, I'd be a millionaire. Why I said, let me make a product line to sell, you know, and, you know, it's a little different because, you know, pushing a supplement line, having your name on something will get it to be noticed, but then the product has to speak for itself. So it's a whole different thing. But yeah, social media is a big part of the success of today's bodybuilders. And if they don't get it and know how to build that, you know, anyone who wants to be a Gaspari nutrition athlete, I got to see that they are working on that social media. I mean, I have Branch Warren. He's amazing. He has over 2 million followers on Facebook. And when I told him, I said, you got to build your social media following. He listened to me and he just built on it bigger and stronger. Guys like Flex Lewis have a strong social media following. You know, these were my athletes that understood how that can help them and make them, you know, their own business within themselves. And it is big, you know, with social media.
Well, I remember watching videos from years ago, and you talked about these requirements that you had for your athletes, and you talk about how they got it, but that was something that you really emphasized to them, and you made it mandatory. You know, why don't you talk about that, how it was in the past, maybe it's still that way, about how bodybuilders, hey, I've got this great body, would you sponsor me, right? Break down that myth and what advice you give to those listening out there who want to be a big shot someday and they have their head down winning contest.
Well, I mean, if you become a professional bodybuilder, you're a professional. And a professional means much more than just competing in shows to win prize money. You become a professional as an individual that represents the sports, and that's conducting yourself in the right manner, you know, with your fans. Your fans are the people that make you, you know, treat your fans right. You know, these are the people that, you know, you need to respect. And, you know, when you see these bodybuilders that have no respect for their fans and say they don't have time for them, you know, those are the people that make you. So, I mean, that's one step. The other step is, like, you know, building, you know, your social media, you know, letting people want to know, how did you build your body? The one thing that I did is, you know, in the articles, you know, with the magazines, is I, you know, described, like, you know, how did you get glutes? And I, you know, I wrote articles on how I built my glutes, and, you know, I wrote articles and how I stayed lean and ripped, and, you know, and how I kept logs and the supplements I took. And I mean, these are things that, you know, the fans wanted to know, you know, for that next generation of bodybuilding to learn from you. So you have to be able to be open to, you know, giving this information, because people want that information. When you're on top, you know, that's what's going to build you up and help you, you know, make a living from it. You know, I was very professional in the fact that, you know, I did guest posings and I was always in shape. You know, I couldn't be a contest shape, but
Right.
You know, I booked my exhibitions to be in good form at these shows, you know, see bodybuilders even today doing exhibitions and they're just so out of shape. And, you know, people are paying to see that pro and get, you know, then get disappointed. So that's important that, you know, you're going to these shows looking, you know, so that people go, wow, this is why this guy looks like this. And, you know, they're looking at you. They know you're not in contest shape, but you got to be in good shape. You know, so I was in great shape when I did these exhibitions, seminars, you know, conducting myself in a professional manner and, you know, help people. And I always had the time to talk to people and give them, you know, the information that they were asking. I never sat there and, you know, when I was there at a seminar, I was there at a show or I was at, you know, a gym, you know, that was not in my, you know, my local gym. I was there to be this ambassador to the sport so that people can learn from me. And, you know, with that, you know, of course it turns into a business, you know, where, wow, I love Rich. I want to buy his shirt. Wow. I want to buy his courses. Wow. I want to buy. So that's how, you know, it's a little different today, but it's the same because
right.
through social media, through their own website, you know, these bodybuilders can, you know, push whatever type of, you know, training system they have or the clothing that they have or supplement line that they have and what they do. And, you know, there's a lot of these guys now that do online training. You know, people make a living now in online training. They can train people, pros that can, you know, train other people and make a living from it. So, you know, you have to look at as a professional bodybuilder, not just being this professional because of prize money that you win. You're a professional 24/7, you know, in life.
Do you think that was appreciated or acknowledged, you know, that hustle, that business acumen that you had behind the scenes? Do you think that people realize what you were doing behind the scenes? Because I really appreciate this. I really didn't know what went on back then.
I mean, the people that knew, like I told you, the videos that I made and the guy that made my video goes, man, you're really smart because, you know, I sell three times more videos, your video, than Lee Haney's video because he only had one.
Right.
You had three. And, you know, even told the other guys, like, why don't you listen to, you know, look at what Rich is doing. And then the other guys got smarter to do it. But yeah, the people like the, you know, the guys who ran shows and they appreciated it because I was always, you know, professional. And, you know, when I came to their show and, you know, when I was in the lobby to sign autographs and back then, you know, today it's different. You used to be able to make money even selling your photos.
Right. Right.
Today everybody has a, you know, has a phone and they take a picture with you and now you give away pictures,
right.
But you know, I see like, you know, I tell Branch and go like, what are you selling? Like, you know, he sells his own clothing line. They look at him cause he wears these like boots.
Uh-huh.
So now he made his own boots.
Oh, wow.
that he's selling. And I mean, he says, I appreciate, you know, listening to you and, you know, making the best of the opportunity because it's when you're a pro bodybuilder, it's just a small window of time that you have this attention to be able to make the most you can for that little period of time. It's a shame when you just sit there and you're just competing and then you put yourself away and hide the rest of the time. And there were bodybuilders like that
right.
that would just compete, show up, and then disappear. You know, I was pretty relevant and out there in the public eye, you know, so that is what helped me, you know, make, you know, more money at the time, you know, being a pro bodybuilder.
Yeah. You know, you come in today, I don't think people have any clue how competitive and challenging the supplement business is. And for you to build a brand as big as yours, do you think that people out there don't really understand how much goes into this your supplement business?
It's no, some people don't understand. I mean, you know, we've had our company close to 100 million, you know,
right.
in sales. And,
yeah.
and that was in over, you know, over 150 countries around the world with the brand. There's a lot involved. There's R&D, you know, there's, you know, marketing and knowing how to market your brand. It's, you know, sales and how to sell your product properly and price protection and selling, you know, to certain channels to learn how to sell the product. There's so much involved in running a company that I continue to learn. The industry constantly changes. And with those changes, you have to change with the industry. You know, when I started it, it was the guy who put the most ads in the magazine that got the most popularity.
Oh, uh-huh.
Little by little, that transitioned when companies started using social media to, you know, market their brand or do guerrilla marketing by, you know, setting like demo reps in stores and, you know, selling product right in the store itself, you know, so it, you know, the way you spent your money on your marketing changed. So you, it's constantly learning. I'm constantly sitting there with, you know, you got to be out there, you know, in the street to know what your competitors are doing, what products are your customers are looking at. You know, what I think is a product that would be great may not be necessarily the product that's going to be popular. And I've actually been challenged because I didn't believe in certain products that were on the market because I believed in this would be the proper product to sell. But I was wrong because another product, there was always like what they call waves in the industry. And, you know, you could take those waves and grow with it, or you can not follow that wave. And, you know, there were certain waves that I missed or certain waves that I was able to hit. But it's a constant learning in, you know, what you're doing with the sport, with the supplement industry. It is not easy. You know, I have to learn to deal with employees and HR and, you know, we have different departments here. It becomes much different. You know, I have people that work for me that have to implement a lot of it, but, you know, I have to make sure this is the vision. This is where we're going with this and how we're going to do it. I mean, I'm restructuring the entire brand, rebranding, a new look in the logo, new products. You have to constantly reinvent yourself. So people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, you're running and there's always something there's always someone right behind you, running right behind you.
Right.
So if you're complacent, someone's going to take that spot. And it's happened to me. So
yeah, you know. No, it's interesting. When I started my brand, and Lee Labrada, he was starting in around your time too. And I remember I walked up to him and I kind of told him, and he just had this look on his face, very confident, very happy for me. And he said, "If you can do this, I'll be the first one to shake your hand." I know what he's talking about now. I don't think that some people think you just slap a label on a bottle, and that's how it all works. You know, I'm curious, you were a leader to build your image, your bodybuilding image, parlay that, like you said, that only went so far. You had to become this businessman over all these years, right? Keep up with the change. Now, a lot of signature brands have come behind you, following your lead. Yes. Now, there was an explosion in the supplement market. I'm curious where you see it like 5 years from now. Is it going to continue to expand with more brands, micro brands, or is it going to come back down to the days with just the top 10 after attrition sets in? What do you see for the future?
It's changed so much. There was a lot. When I got into it, there wasn't that many brands, and it gave me an opportunity to grow into the industry and, you know, make, you know, my company very big, you know, and doing the right steps. Now there's so much competition because everyone believes they can start a brand make millions of dollars. They all think they can do what Lee Labrada did or what I did.
Yeah, that's your fault. You made it look so easy over there, Rich. Yeah,
but it's not easy. And even, if you talk to Lee, talk to me, it's still not easy.
Right.
Because what happens is, you know, a lot of little brands start. There's a lot of different intricacies when you say, is there going to be more brands? You know, what's happened now is, you know, you have your big name brands, and then there's stores that have what's called house brands, which they only sell in that store itself, because those stores can sell products or what they call a house brand that they can make more margin on.
Right.
And those store owners will push that product more.
Or websites too, big giant websites that we all know about, right?
and then what happens is there's social media. There's brands that came out of nowhere through social media by getting these high followers to push a brand and use it as a marketing tool and make these brands come from nowhere that were never heard of through social media grow into like monsters. So it's constantly evolving and you got to find your place. What do you look for? I mean, it's like any business. You look at, you know, the costing of your product. You're constantly trying to find to make the highest quality product, but at the most, cost-effective price, you know, trying to find the right margin to make on a product, higher margins, you know, more innovation, give you higher margins. Commodity products like protein will give you lower margins. So then you got to do a mixed margin of what you're going to sell. There's a lot to, you know, making a brand. And like I said, it's a learning experience for me, but I have to say I have a PhD in sports nutrition because of the mistakes that I made and constant learning that I've done, things that have worked, things that have not worked. So it's, you can't just slap your name on a brand. It's right. Not going to work.
Well,
it's funny because I built up a new fan base. The last time I competed was like 96, 97, like was my last show.
Uh-huh.
And I have a fan base, and it's funny because now they have this old school bodybuilding. There's like this whole new uprising to old school bodybuilding. And so I built these fans because these kids that buy my brand learned that I was, this top bodybuilder. And then they say, wow, I didn't realize you were this great bodybuilder. I love your physique. I love the way it looks. So now I go to a show and because of social media, now I've built this fan base of young kids that now know who Rich Gasparri is, as well as the guys in their 40s and 50s and 60s that recognize me when I competed. So I got a mix of both type of fans. Of course, I'm constantly evolving and, I'm out there, like you said, I try to stay in shape. I'm out there doing videos. I'm out there doing training sessions with my, my athletes so that I'm always, visible, and I'm always in shape. I train 5 days a week. I still love bodybuilding. I have a gym in my warehouse. If you see my Instagram and Facebook, and, I have a 4,000 square foot gym that has everything in it that I, customize that we do video in there. For the brand.
So for the young guys who are following you, they were teenagers when you were a teenager. They were training in their 20s when you were in their 20s. They were in their 30s. So what advice would you give them? How has your training, your nutrition, and your mindset evolved as you evolve?
Well, you're close to my age. You're the same, So you know that it's hard to continue training as heavy or as hard. I've got, herniated discs and I got, knee problems. And so I got to learn to train, where I can train, enough not to get myself injured anymore, but still train, with intensity to train a body part, to failure, which you can still do without having to go super, super heavy. And I still, use fairly heavy weights in a lot of certain movements. I'm still really strong. I'm still strong in legs. I'm still strong in shoulders for some reason. And, I'm able to train, heavy on those movements, but I still am very careful in the form that I don't hurt myself, in doing those exercises. I do rest more because, when you're, a bit older, you got to rest more. I do watch my diet. I'm constantly eating, almost the same, as I did, when I was competing in off season. I'm still eating a balanced diet, whole foods, brown rice, sweet potatoes, chicken, lean beef, fish. I still eat 3 to 4 meals a day with 2 to 3 shakes a day, with using my protein.
Uh-huh.
I'm always there watching, keeping my body fat low. I'm proud to say in my 50s, I still, have a six pack and I still, still people say, wow, you're still vascular. You still look good. And it's it's something I enjoy. I don't do it to be competitive, but I do it because I enjoy training.
You're known for your love, your passion, your work ethic as a bodybuilder, and also your business. I'm curious if you compare the two, and you can't say I'm an 11 out of 10 on both, right? Which is the more of a challenge for you? Was it your bodybuilding to get to the level you did or to build the business that you have built? Which one's more challenging?
Well, both were very challenging. I have to say the issue with bodybuilding is you have genetic limitations. So, did I train harder than Lee Haney? I believe I did. But because of his genetics that were, superior, he was 245 at my, 210, with a small, small hips and a unbelievable back. And, I was, I would come in there at my best and, and even if it was slightly off, he was still enough to edge me. So, when it comes to bodybuilding, I push myself to the limits to get to, and I have to say, I'm proud of my accomplishments.
Yes.
I won the first Arnold Classic,
Another first, Rich.
And, you know, I got recognized, you know, I got Lifetime Achievement Awards by Arnold and Lifetime Achievement Awards by, you know, Ben Weider. And, you know, and you know, I'm on the plaques on, you know, the Muscle Beach, you know, Walk of Fame. So I was able to accomplish that after, you know, after my career. But, you know, business, I'm not going to say was easier because there's a lot other more difficulties in doing that. But I would say you're limited more through bodybuilding because of genetic limitations, where in business, if you do the right things in business and if you learn the right things in business, you can be even more successful than, you know, you can be in as a bodybuilder.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So, you know, you talked about adversity. You talked about how you failed at your gym. That's the way you described it. And then you went on to build your supplement company. Tell me about the adversity you've gone through. I'm sure people, they've been following you in the magazines. You talked about all those achievements. They've known you forever. And I know I've watched your videos. I've heard you speak. You're quite a motivational guy. I think, again, a lot of times people may not give you credit for your ability to bounce back from adversity. What has it taught you? Can you give us some examples besides the gym that were tough times that can inspire those guys out there going through those times?
Well, what happened in my bodybuilding career is, you know, at 32 years old, I started having issues. I have what's called a military neck. So actually one of my discs are missing in my neck. So because of that, one of the discs being fused, the top disc C2, C4 or C6 basically are more stressed. So when I was training, you know, I was actually training for my comeback in bodybuilding in 95, I herniated the disc in my neck, which caused me to totally paralyze on my you know, right side. Oh, and wow. Ended my bodybuilding career, which, you know, at the time I owned my gym that was having difficulties and, you know, not really making the money that I wanted to make, you know, with the gym, because it was in an area that, you know, just, it was just difficult. I wasn't able to make ends meet. I was doing personal training on the side. And while I was in bed with this herniated disc that I was, you know, that I couldn't move, I started thinking, I want to do a supplement line. And there in bed, I started writing a business plan on that I was going to make this line and with the products I was going to sell. And I was going to start with my, you know, my personal training clients and then grow that and expand it. And I just felt that, you know what, if I can't use my body as a bodybuilder, now I got to use my brain and figure out what I need to do to now, again, you know, reinvent Rich Gaspari, which I sat there and just, you know, said, I'm going to make these products. I studied the market. I said, these are the products I want to come out with. I went to manufacturers, started this product line with very little money. I sold my house. And like I told you, what happened was I went through a divorce, lost money there, of course, that always happens. And then went through this injury. I got dropped from my contract from Weider, so I didn't have the money to, you know, make ends meet. So I had to sell my house, went personally bankrupt, moved back to my parents' house, started Gaspari Nutrition, and, you know, start over again and slowly build a company. You know, 2 years into building Gaspari, I started getting customers, and I had my parents' house. It's like a warehouse. It was in my 30s, and remember, I was very young, and in my early 30s when I started Gaspari Nutrition, 34 when I started, my mom's house burned down from an electrical fire. So I lost everything, lost all my products. I lost all my memorabilia, all my clothes, and I had to start over again, you know, which then I started in my brother, who lived, we're Italian family, so we live all next to each other. I had to end up working out of his basement, in his garage, in the snow, you know, sending packages out. But I just believe that, you know, I always said, if I just keep trying and moving forward, that eventually, you know, success will happen. And opportunities will be there. So I just have to explain, I just kept moving forward and looking for the opportunities, because there's always, if you just stand still and don't look for opportunities, they'll never come. But if you look for opportunities, you know, by being, you know, if you're working hard, opportunities will come. It's not luck. There's no such thing as luck. Hard work is what makes luck.
Yeah, that's some great advice. Very inspiring, very motivating. Appreciate that. So as we conclude this podcast, and again, I so much appreciate your time and your wisdom and your life stories that you shared. What's next for you? What do you see down the line? You're the leader, right? Learned so much about you from the striated glutes to the posing trunks, the manipulation and the nutrition to the logging to so many different things, to the supplement line, being the first signature brand from a very famous bodybuilder. There was one more one in there, too, that I learned, too, about another first. But tell me, what's next as you plan a couple of steps forward?
I mean, you know, I still enjoy, my passion is, you know, building the brand. I want to come up with different sub-brands. You know, we want to come up with a woman's line. We want to come up with, you know, a health line, you know, more of a natural line that doesn't just, you know, go towards bodybuilding, because I've learned a lot in this industry. So to continue growing, you know, in nutraceuticals, you know, I want to continue growing in there. Believe it or not, you know, I have, you know, other interests. You know, I look at the fitness industry, you know, I want to come up with, you know, clothing, you know, we're going to start running, you know, shows. So I'm looking at different opportunities for me to make, you know, I do believe, you know, in the future, I like, you know, I'm very, you know, I feel that I've been a motivator, you know, and I thought about, like, you know, when I retire, become a motivational speaker because of my adversity. So that's another thing that I always think of is, like, you know, when everything's done, then to continue on and inspiring people by, you know, becoming a motivational speaker.
Yeah.
That's something that I would, you know, enjoy doing, believe it or not. I also believe in, like, giving back, you know, in community service. And, you know, I said, you know, when I sell everything, you know, getting involved in politics would be something I would want to do.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, but it's, I'm not that I want to tell you my affiliation of what party, I'm but I'm, you know, I'm a businessman. So you can probably guess where I'm at.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, but I do, you know, I do believe that, you know, like my dad said, you know, if you work hard and you will succeed. And I believe this country is a great country that, you know, this is a land of opportunity that, you know, and I feel I'm living the American dream. And if people believe that, you know, if they put their passion into work and not expect things given to them, that you can do anything that you want to do. And I do believe in helping people that can't have things that they can't have. But, you know, I do believe that you need to work hard, you know, and you will be successful in anything that you do in life.
Well, you're a perfect example of that. IFBB professional bodybuilder, IFBB Hall of Fame professional bodybuilder and businessman and motivational speaker. Like I said, I'm pumped up. I'm actually getting some chills. Learned a lot about you and a lot of perspective climbing inside your mind. Really appreciate your time, Rich, and I know our listeners do too. So for Rich Gaspari, I am Skip LaCour. Thanks for listening to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom,
love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLacourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLacourCoaching.com.